more.
Hey there, I'm Christine, and I'm so excited to welcome you to the Equip and Empower podcast. Now, my prayer is that our time together each week encourages you, awakens you to the purposes of God in your life, and activates you to follow Jesus wholeheartedly as you live on mission for Him. Today, I know that God has got a powerful word for you. I'm so grateful that you've joined me. Well, we're going to start from the book of Hebrews chapter 2. The Bible says, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. We must pay much closer attention. In the day in which we are living in, where there are just so many changes in our society, so many changes in our culture, the writer to the Hebrews, writing to a bunch of persecuted Jewish Christians, saying, look, don't go back to where you came from. We've got to pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we don't neglect such a great salvation. The salvation that we have in Jesus Christ is awesome. And there are so many pressures in our society trying to pull us away from the purposes of God, trying to pull us away from the plans of God. So we want to be a people that do not drift. We want to be a people that stay on course with our God-given destiny and our God-given purpose. We want to be a people that run our race and finish our course. So we had some signs of drifting throughout this series. We learned that you know that you are drifting when you stop resting and you start striving, when you stop resting in the finished work of Christ and you start striving in trying to do things yourself, then you're going to find yourself drifting. You know, when you stop working and you start watching, when you stop being about the Father's business and you are just sitting there just watching like a Christian spectator in a grandstand. And we learned in that point that, you know, we're not here to watch other people run a Christian race. We are here to run our race and finish our course. When you stop pressing and you start coasting, when you stop trying to lay a hold of all of that for which Christ Jesus has laid a hold of you and you just kind of live a nice little Christian lifestyle, then you know that you've drifted from this passionate, purpose-driven life. I want to hang on to the hem of His garment. I want to go wherever Jesus is going. I wake up in the morning and I say, Jesus, I don't know where you're going today, but I'm going wherever you're going. I am following you. I am staying close to you. I am walking with you. I am following you wherever you go. I want to stay close. We know that we've drifted when we stop gathering and we start isolating. When, you know, we suddenly think, well, I don't really need to meet with other believers. I don't really need to go to church. I don't really need to be in any kind of small group. And then we start isolating. You become a target for the enemy when you start isolating. And we know that we are drifting when we're no longer allowing Jesus to heal us and we just start seeping over everybody and we start interacting with people out of our brokenness, out of our woundedness, out of our fragmentation. But Jesus wants to continue healing us. And today we're going to talk about the fact that we know that we are drifting when we stop celebrating and we start competing and comparing. When we start competing and comparing with each other rather than celebrating one another, then there is something seriously wrong. Scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, not that we dare to classify or compare ourselves with some of those who are commending themselves, but when they measure themselves by one another and compare themselves with one another, they are without understanding. I mean, the fact is, the Bible says that we are not wise when we compare ourselves with each other. And I think there is so much, we are living in a time where we are spending so much time looking at one another, comparing ourselves with one another. Of course, social media does that, and that we used to be happy with our living room until we scrolled through someone else's Instagram and saw their living room. We were happy with the condition of our, you know, kitchen until we went on Pinterest and saw somebody else's kitchen and you're like, oh, suddenly I'm not, there's all comparison. I thought I was doing okay with my kids because like I put them to bed alive. And, you know, I thought that was like really good until I saw everybody else's, you know, when they've got like matching little pajamas or whatever it is. And so you come out and we're living in such an era of competition, such an era of comparison. But the Bible says, look, those who compare themselves among themselves, they are not wise. You are not going to fulfill your God-given purpose. And in fact, you've drifted from your God-given purpose when you start competing with others, when you start comparing with others. There is only one of you. You You have a unique thumbprint. You have a unique DNA. God created you with intentionality, on purpose and for a purpose. Don't waste your one and only life wishing you had somebody else's life. Get on with the program and live the life that God has called you to live. Run the race that God has called you to run. You've only got one life to live. But by competing and comparing, the Bible tells us in the book of Corinthians that God sets every member in place. We are one body and many parts. We are all made intentionally. You know, I told you about my ski accident where, you know, I snapped my ACL. Now, an ACL is a ligament behind your knee. It's smaller than my little finger. So do you realize before I had my ski accident, I did not even know I had an ACL. I did not even know what an ACL, A, B, C, E, F, G. I didn't know what was in my knee. I did not know. But let me just say, that little thing, that ligament that I didn't even know was there, that was smaller than this little finger, tucked in behind my knee, caused me more pain than childbirth did. It made me not be able to function for weeks. So I wonder in the body how many little ligaments that are unseen that have been displaced or haven't embraced their place because they didn't like their place are causing the whole body not to function effectively. I couldn't stand up because of a torn ACL and MCL. I couldn't stand up. I wonder how many couldn't stand up because we just haven't taken our place because we wish we had something with more visibility, or we wish that we were some other part, or we scroll through social media and say, that's what I want to be, rather than saying to God, what do you want me to be? Where do you want me to be, God? And if we all embraced our place, if we all took our place, if we all understood the value and the importance of every sinew, spiritually speaking, every tissue, every muscle, then you know what? We wouldn't be worried about who got the glory and who got the visibility and who's doing what. We would understand the importance of every part that every single one of us plays. And I wonder, and I think we will be more effective on the earth as the body of Christ when we stopped just celebrating one part of the body and we began to utilize every part of the body. And we encourage everyone to take their place in the body. We don't look the same. A hand doesn't look like a foot. An ear doesn't look like a knee. An elbow doesn't look like an eye, nor should it. But we're so busy wanting everyone else to be like us that we're not understanding, I need your uniqueness. I need your distinctiveness. I need your difference. The very thing that you're different from, that's the part of the body that I need because I don't have that. I know I've got a mouth. You know, there it is. That's the deal. I am like the mouth. But what use would we be if we were just all mouth, 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 mouth? What about elbow? What about fingers? What about toes? What about eyes? What about ears? What about all the parts you can't see? What about kidneys? Try to live without one of those. Try to live without a gall. You know, oh, well, I guess you can, but you know, gallbladders are painful, but I think they do something. I don't know what, but they do something. You can tell my anatomy class is not going great. But here is my deal. We are one body, many parts. We can learn from others. We can be inspired by others. We can be encouraged by others, but we've still got to take our place. At some point, you've got to say, you know what? I'm not going to buy into the comparison thing. I'm not going to buy into the competition. I do this. I'm very controlled with how much I'm on social media because I don't want that. I want to minister to people. I want to serve people. I don't want to be comparing myself with people. I don't want to be competing with people. I want to be encouraging people. I want to be speaking words of life. I want to be speaking words of hope. I want that to get into the heartbeat of people. So you've got to do what you've got to do to go, you know what, this is not a competition. Jesus isn't going to, when I stand before Jesus, he's not going to say, Chris, did you do more than her? He's going to say, Chris, did you do everything I called you to do? Yes. God's not going to ask you if you were better than anybody else. He's going to ask you, did you do what he called you to do? He's not going to ask you if you did more than anybody else. He's going to say, did you do what I called you to do? Yes. That's what we're going to be judged on. Did we do on what we did and did not do? That's what it's going to come down to. And so don't spend all your time on earth comparing yourself with everybody else. There's a unique you. There's a distinct you. Thank God there's only one of me. The planet does not need any more. It does not need any more. And finally, we know that we have started to drift when we basically stop enduring and we start yielding. when we stop enduring in this life and we start yielding. You know, Jesus did say that in this world you will have trouble. And I think a lot of times we forget those parts of the Bible, that there will be trials and there will be tribulations. And, you know, I'm not quite with James yet, count it all joy. I don't always count it all joy when trials come. I'm like, I don't know what you were smoking, James, but whatever, that's okay. But at the end of the day, we get to this place where we go, okay, that if you and I are going to make it in the days in which we live, if you and I are going to make it in the time in which we live, then we have to make a decision that we're going to have to toughen up a little bit, that we need some endurance. We don't need a whole bunch of weak-willed people with no backbone and no spine, that we're going to need some grit. We're going to need some tenacity. I don't know how we ever thought this side of eternity that it was all just going to be easy. The fact is we are in a spiritual battle. I'm always surprised when I meet people and they go, I don't believe there's a devil. I'm like, what planet are you on? What planet are you on? I rescue the victims of human trafficking. If you don't want to tell me that kind of sexual exploitation is not satanic and evil and demonic, then I don't know. It is so evil. There is so much evil and there is an enemy and he is real. He is real. And he has one plan. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy our lives. That's it. That's what he wants to do. And the Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. And let me just say, he is gainfully employed doing what he does best, yes, accusing the brethren. And there is this spirit that is out in the atmosphere causing so much division, divisiveness, and anger and hostility all around the place. There is a very real enemy that wants to destroy your life, that wants to destroy the body. Now, we know that he can't, because Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church of the living God. It says that no weapon forged against us shall prosper, but it doesn't mean that the weapon will not be forged. The Bible never says the weapon will not be forged, but I want to remind you, it shall not prosper. It may have been forged, but it shall not prosper against you in Jesus' name. It shall not prosper. But let me just say, we better know how to fight a spiritual battle. We better know that we do not war against flesh and blood, but we war against powers and principalities. And this is not a game. This is not a game. We are living in very urgent times. Revelation 12:12 says the enemy knows his time is short. And so he has accelerated things. And so maybe you feel like all hell has come against you, because it probably has, because there is an enemy. So we need some grit. We need some tenacity. We need some resilience. We need some ability to get up, to know what are the weapons of our warfare, and we need to yield the weapons of our warfare with strength and courage and authority. We need to be people that know how to endure, that know how to withstand hardship. You know, the fact is, the great heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, I mean, it's just so powerful. We're going to read some of these guys and chicks in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen is not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch. I mean, the whole list goes on. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. It goes on. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. It talks about all of these great heroes of faith. And then it says, verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. I mean, it just goes on. There are Enoch, and there is Abel, and there is Barak, and there is just here a person of person of person of person. And it says, look, they didn't even see the promise, but they endured. You know, you and I call a minor inconvenience a trial. Like, I'm stuck in traffic on the 405. It's just such a trial. I mean, we have got brothers and sisters in Christ being martyred for their faith. all around the world. And we just think, I broke a nail. It's just such a trial. I'm just being so tested. I'm like, honey, your nail snapping is not a trial. It's not a test. It's not a tribulation. It's fine. It's an inconvenience. Don't be confusing inconvenience with trials. And some of us, we don't even have the endurance to pass the test of, you know, a friend said something and we can't even overlook an offense. And we think we're going to handle it in the last days as the enemy bombards us with trials. We can't deal with unforgiveness. We can't deal with, you know, disappointment or discouragement. You offended me, I'm leaving. The amount of people, the amount of fractured relationships, because nobody's got any endurance. I'm just done. I'm out of here. I'm not just talking about marriage relationships. I'm talking about friendships and just people, God putting you in a workplace. And the minute it gets a little bit tough, I'm out of here. I don't deserve this. I deserve better. I'm out. And we endure nothing. Nothing. The minute we don't like it, we're out. I'm just going to change jobs. I'm just going to change spouses. I'm just going to change this. I'm just going to change that. Because we have the luxury of options. We're not learning endurance. We're not learning to endure some things we don't like. Trials come and we collapse. We collapse because we have no resilience. We have no tenacity. We have no strength. We have no grit. I mean, if I'm going to crumble, it is amazing to me, especially watching some of the younger people come through, the amount of stress they're constantly under. I'm like, what do you mean? What are you actually doing? Oh, you had to wake up. Okay. Wow. Wow. You had to be at work on time and that's causing you stress. Literally, I was talking to a friend the other day and a person that was working for her said, look, I just need to just reevaluate this because I've just, and she's like 22, and I have just gone over my values and I've decided one of my values is sleeping late. And one of my values is, you know, spending lots of time around the pool. And I'm thinking, wow, that's awesome. So you want me to pay you to sleep late? Is that actually what we're saying here? Or you want me to pay you to lie by the pool because that's your value while I work to pay for your values? Okay, so what I'm saying is that we're going to build some resilience and some tenacity and understand what a strong work ethic is and that these things are biblical values. And biblical values override our wants. And let's not confuse our wants with that, because at this point, we're not going to have the capacity to handle anything. And let me just say, if you think what's going on the earth now is all hell breaking loose, it is nothing, the Bible says, compared to what's coming. And so if we don't get some spiritual backbone, if we don't know how to pray, if we don't know how to just go, not today, devil, no way. And I am just coming. And I think that's probably one of the greatest gifts I've got. People go, man, you're a woman of faith. Or I go, no, I just got like tenacity. Just like, I'm like, you know that clown? I wish I had one to show you where you knock it and it just comes back up. You know, that blow up clown. That's me, man. You just knock me down and I'm just, well, here I'm back. And the devil's like, here she's again. I'm like, I'm your worst nightmare. Here I am. And I'm back again. There's something about that kind of resilience. There's something about that kind of tenacity that says, no, not today, devil. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, no, with my God, I can scale that wall. No, with my God, I can take down that Goliath. No, my God can still part Red Seas. My God can still pull down Jericho walls. Oh, no, not today, devil. Now I'm coming back. I might have taken a hit. I might have made a mistake, but I'm getting back up because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So we know we need that kind of endurance. And, you know, I think that obviously the one that endured more than anyone, of course, is Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12 tells us, therefore then, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Consider him, Jesus, who endured for the joy set before him, endured that cross. I'm thinking ultimately if our Savior could endure, then it's our job to endure. And some of us that are just dropping like flies because it's gotten a bit heated out there, because we've got a little bit of persecution, because we've got a little bit of ridicule, because the world cannot understand the way we live our lives, because the world may think that we are bigoted or narrow-minded or just narrow. You know what? It's not cool. There was a day maybe where you're from in the world that it was cool to be a Christian. It's not cool. It's just not cool. But that doesn't mean it doesn't make it right. It doesn't mean it doesn't make it true. It doesn't mean that it doesn't make it the path that we should be following as followers of Jesus Christ. But we need strength to endure not to drift, to endure to not just go with the current of this age, to not just go with the spirit of this age, to not just throw away our orthodox beliefs, to not just throw away our commitment to God, to His Word, to His church, to fellow believers, to stay where we are and to believe what God is doing. We need strength to endure. Jesus endured, we can endure. Because Jesus endured, we can endure. You know, when I think about what Jesus Christ had to endure throughout His life, what He had to go through so that you and I can have the opportunity to be in relationship with Him today, for Him to save this entire cosmos, what He had to endure. You know, you think about it through His life when He began His ministry. Remember, He was taken by the devil to be tempted for 40 days in the wilderness, and He still endured. You might feel like you're in a wilderness season. And you go, I don't think I can make it. But I'm telling you, you can make it because the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of you. And Jesus endured. Jesus was in the wilderness, tempted, but He still endured. When His own family did not understand what He was doing, thought He was cray-cray, He still endured. Maybe like me, you come from a family that thinks, man, you need help. What is this stuff you've gotten into? And what I want you to know is you can endure. Some of you think, I don't think I could take my family ridiculing me like they are ridiculing, but I'm saying you can endure. Jesus, remember when His early followers misunderstood Him, He still endured. Some of us have been misunderstood in our communities, in our workplaces, but Jesus still endured. He didn't give up. He didn't quit. He didn't go, oh, I'm out. He stayed. When His followers began to fall away one by one, He still endured. Some of you lose 3 followers on Instagram and think, oh no, I'm going to change what I'm posting now. I'm not going to be such a Christian. But Jesus didn't stop being a Christian. Well, I don't think He was a Christian actually, but Jesus did not stop because some followers left Him. When the Pharisees lied about Him, He still endured. You ever been lied about? I had something happen and man, I wanted to give up. I thought, I can't take all this, the lying and just the accusations that are not real. And Jesus says, well, I didn't quit when the Pharisees lied about me. When the Sadducees conspired to trap Him, he still endured. Maybe you feel like, Chris, I feel like I've been cornered, but that's still not a reason. I'm trying to say there's not a reason to give up and drift because Jesus didn't. He has actually gone through everything that we're going through. When Judas betrayed Him, you ever been betrayed? When Judas betrayed Him for 30 pieces of silver, He still endured. When He pled with His Father, you ever not wanted to do something? Jesus got down on His knees and said, I don't want to do this. If there's any other way, would you take this cup from me, Father? Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So you might feel like, Chris, I don't want to. I'm saying, well, neither did Jesus, but He still endured. Can you imagine when the temple guard arrested Him, He still endured. He could have just snapped His fingers, didn't even need to do that much. And they could have all been taken out. When His 11 disciples scattered, He still endured. When He went through 6 illegal trials, He still endured. When Pilate handed Him over to the crowd, He still endured. When Peter denied Him, He still endured. When the crowds cried, crucify Him, He still endured. When the soldiers mocked and ridiculed Him, He still endured. When they whipped Him beyond recognition, He still endured. When they thrust that crown of thorns on His head, He still endured. As they hammered Him to that cross, He still endured. When all the forces of hell came against Him, He still endured as he absorbed the sin of humanity. He still endured as he cried out, "It is finished." He still endured. And because he endured, he rose again on the third day. He holds the keys to hell and death in his hands. And my Bible says the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives on the inside of you and me. Therefore, because our King endured, we too can endure in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really hope today's message has encouraged you. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. For links and more, you can go to christinecane.com. We'll see you next time.